Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Zayin. We begin 8 lines off the top of the Yomid. Boy Rish Lakish. Here comes a Shaila from Rish Lakish, which connects into yesterday's discussion. So again, if one bows to an actual mountain, the mountain remains pretty much unaffected by this activity. However, that's with respect to personal, you know, personal use. Lehedyot. What about Lugavoya? Can you use that material for something holy, for the Beis HaMikdash, for Hegdash? So yesterday we had that discussion. Rami Bar Chama actually asked a question. And the Gemara today is sort of based on, if we shall say, Rashi says, Im Tim Tzalayma, if that is so, that Yesh Ne'evad B'mechubar Eitzel Gavoyah, that even something which is Mechubar, if it was worshipped, although with respect to personal use it's unaffected, but with respect to Gavoyah use, higher use, Beis HaMikdash purposes, it does become, you know, disqualified. So the question will be, fine, that's for Gavoyah, that's for the Mikdash. What about for a mitzvah? Can that item be used for mitzvah? Boy Rish Lakish, for instance, Hamashtach V'ledekel. So one bows to a palm tree. It's Mechubar. So it does not become Asur for personal use. What about Lulavoy? Can one take a lulav branch off that tree? Ma'ul a mitzvah, can it be used for mitzvah? Do we treat it the same as Hagdish, as Beis HaMikdash, or not? Now, Be'ilan shenotei mitchilu lekach, certainly if the tree was planted initially for the sake of worship, there's no question to ask in this case. Da'afilu lehedit nami aser. In this case, the tree becomes an object of worship, a cheft of avodah zarah, and is aser even for a private person to use. There's no question as to the status of this tree, it's forbidden. Your question can be posed in the following. A tree that was planted for personal use, mundane use, innocent purposes, and then it was worshipped. And again, according to that shita, there's no question as to the status, because he holds that even in this case, when it was only worshipped later, it affects the status of the tree and is forbidden for personal use. Anything, you know, any growth going forward, any future, any new growth is considered avodah zarah. Certainly, it cannot be used for mitzvah as well. The question will be, kiti boilach, aliba de rabbanon, according to the rabbanon, who say that in this case where it was only worshipped later, it does not turn into an item of avodah zarah. Perhaps that's only for personal reference. But l'inya mitzvah, my, what about to use it for a mitzvah, like for a lulav? My. How do we treat this? Mi mois, shall we say, it's inappropriate to use this type of item for a mitzvah klapi gavoya. So a mitzvah is like gavoya. It's a higher purpose, a higher use. Mi mois klapi gavoya, shall we say, this thing is mois with respect to using it for mitzvah, oiloi, or perhaps we do not say so, and it could be used. So that was the first version of Rish Lakish's question. Ki asur Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came, however, he said, Amar ba'asher ha'shebit l'kami b'ilei. We weren't talking about this type of case. We're speaking about an asherah tree, right? A sacred tree, a vidzara tree, which in their eyes is sacred. So this tree, which was truly asur, suppose it was planted for vidzara. No question about the status of the tree. But then a guy comes along and is mavat, he negates the status of that vidzara. He nullifies it. Basherah shebitla kamei boilei. That was Rish Lakish's question. Can we use that material going forward? Shall we say, sure, why not? It's no longer avodah zarah. On the other hand, at a certain point in time, it was regarded as avodah zarah, and it became pushed away, became disqualified for mitzvah use. Shall we say, dichui takes place? which means to say that when something was disabled and disqualified for a certain point in time, it can no longer regain its status. It can no longer be used for the mitzvah. Just like we say by karbanos, right? If an animal became disqualified. Perhaps the same applies to mitzvah. Yesh dichui. Shall we apply the concept of dichui, eitzel mitzvahs, with respect to mitzvah items? If it was unfit at a certain time, it cannot regain its status. Or perhaps we do not apply this dichui concept to mitzvahs. Sure, it was unfit while it was an asherah tree, but now it's no longer asherah and it can be used for a mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, Tushalim Midasnan. Why can't we resolve this question based on a Mishnah, which speaks about kisui hadam, person shechts an animal. The blood must be covered with sand, right? What happens kiso if you covered it properly? Vinizgala and then became exposed. The wind, you know, blew the sand away. Pater malachasos, he no longer has to cover it. He already fulfilled his obligation. Kiso haruach. However, if the wind came along and covered the blood, so he wasn't involved. It happened by itself. Chayv lachasos. In this case, he's still obligated to cover that blood. Now, of course, in its present situation, there's no obligation to cover. It's already covered. So what does it mean when we say he has to cover it? V'amar Rabba, Barachan, Rabbi Yochanan, Lashanu. When is that so, that he has to cover it? Ela shechazav neskala. Oh, what happened was, the wind covered, and then another wind comes along and uncovers and exposes the blood. So, since the blood is now exposed, and he personally never covered it. So sure, while the item, in this case the blood, was covered, there's no point in covering it. While the cheftza was covered, but the gaver, the person, never really fulfilled his obligation. So again, as long as it's covered, it's nothing you can do. But once it becomes uncovered, that activates his personal obligation. And he has to go cover the dam. But of course, if the blood never got uncovered again after the wind covered it, potam lachasos, of course, is exempt from covering it. And the question is, vavinu, but the question posed on this halacha was, even if it now was exposed, so what? Ki chazav and izgala mayavi. What good is it? Hoyel ve'itchi itchi, once the blood was nitche, which means to say that once the wind came and covered it, that sort of disabled any obligations, any chiyuvim of covering that blood. It's no longer coverable. Why? It is already covered. So how can you go reactivate that obligation to cover it now? V'amar Papa, says Rav Papa, we learn from here, from this very halacha, that ain't dichoy etzel mitzvahs. Forget about dichoy. That doesn't apply to mitzvahs. So although at a certain point in time, the blood was sort of unfit, meaning I had no longer an obligation to cover it. The mitzvah was no longer relevant. It doesn't matter. It can get reactivated when the possibility arises. Nope, so back to our shayla. Perhaps we can conclude based on this halacha that the lulav of that tree, which although was unfit at a certain point in time because it was asherah, but now it's back to normal. Says the Gemara, the truth is that Rish Lakish, who posed that lulav question, wasn't really 100% certain what Rav Papa had in mind. He wasn't sure. Yiboyle. Sure, when Rav Papa says you have to go recover that blood, right? Mifshet Pshitilei Rav Papa, was Rav Papa certain that dicha doesn't apply to mitzvahs in any shape or form, whether loishna lakula, whether it generates a leniency, like in the case of the lulav, we allow it to shake the lulav, loishna lachumra, whether it generates a stringency with respect to the blood that has to now be covered again, because ein dicha is an established fact. Or perhaps you can say sfuki mesapkali. Really, Rav Papa wasn't 100% certain that dicha does not apply. He wasn't sure. Ulochumra amrinan, sure. We would say it if it generates a strictness, meaning you have to go cover the blood. despite it having been unfit during the interim period. So l'churma we say, no, don't worry about dichui. The obligation is still in place. L'kula l'amrin, perhaps we don't stretch it and say l'kula as well. For instance, to allow us to use the lulav tree, the lulav from that tree, teku, so we leave it unresolved. So again, Rish Lakish had a shaila regarding a lulav off the Asherah tree, according to the first version. The question was, shall we say, that if the tree is not considered Avodah Zarah, okay, we're talking about the first version, it wasn't Avodah Zarah tree, it was just a innocent tree on the road, so the tree is unaffected, but what about using the lulav for a mitzvah? Perhaps it's inappropriate. According to the second version, we're speaking about an Asherah tree, but there was a bittul on that Avodah Zarah tree. The question is, shall we say, once the tree is disqualified from its views, it can no longer be used? Or, Ein Dicha Yetzu Mitzvahis allows us to use the lulav. Boy Rapap, here comes another question. Very similar. Hamashtach v'lebehema. One bows to an animal, a sheep. So again, the animal is now still mutter for personal use, because, like we explained yesterday, there's only a din for carbon, right? Nevet is unique for carbonis. If you bow to an animal, you can't use it for carbon. For personal use, it's still okay. The question is, what about the wool material on that animal? Can it be used for tcheles, for a tzitzis, or whatever? Simra, the wool of that animal, malo tcheles. Can you make it into blue wool for tcheles, for tcheles demai? Now, what would be the purpose of the tcheles? What are you trying to use it for? Eat tcheles l'kehanim. Is it meant for the garments of the Kehanim, for the Beis HaMikdash? And the question will be whether something which is Nevad, something which had been worshipped, can it be used for a carbon accessory to facilitate karbanis? And even if you can't, because a machshir of a carbon, something which facilitates carbon, is treated like the carbon. Just like Nevad is puzzle for carbon, likewise for Big De Kehuna. But here it's different, because here it underwent a change. It was transformed, it was colored, it was dyed. Right? So that really links up to yesterday's discussion. If you recall, we had two questions posed by Rami Bar Chama. First, the basic question, does Nevad affect something with respect to being used for machshirei carbon, for the Mizbeach, to build a Mizbeach? And number two, even if the answer is yes, what about if there's a Shina, if it was processed and turned into a different... So what's the point of asking this question again? Hainu Bayad Ram Bachama. This question parallels Rami Bar Chama's discussion of yesterday. Why the repetition? V'itcheles l'tzitzis. Oh, perhaps the tzcheles is being used for the blue wool of the tzitzis strings. So that's a mitzvah. And the question will be, well, shall we say something which is nevad is mos, is inappropriate to be used for a mitzvah or not? Well, we just had that question regarding lulav. Why the repetition? Hainu bayad Rish Lakish, right? And Echanami, you're right. There was no real reason, no purpose in posing this question regarding the tcheles on its own. The purpose of bringing it up, this point about the tcheles wasn't for its own sake, rather on account of the next question. There were more aspects to this equation, to this this question, regarding using different aspects of an animal, of a worshipped animal, for Beis HaMikdash purposes. Things which will indirectly impact a carbon. Instruments for the band, right, during the Shira, the Levim. So, for instance, Tzimra Ma'alu Tcheles. The first question was the wolf at Tcheles. Okay, now Karneho Ma'alu Chatzoitris. What about using the horns to form them into trumpets? Shekeh Ma'alu Chalilin. What about the thigh bones to be turned into flutes? B'nei Me'el, its intestines. Ma'alu Lepe'eris, strings for the harps. to be used in the band that played music in the Beis HaMikdash that accompanied the Shira, the song of the Levim, when they brought their Karbanos. So it's not exactly the Karban itself, it's somehow accompanying the Karban, right? So again, Aliba d'Manda Omer Ikashira B'Kli. So according to the Shita that says, instruments, Kalim, were the primary conveyors of the Shira. Rashi says it's a discussion back in Maseches Sukkah. So they sang vocally and they had instruments. What is considered the primary element of the Shira? Is it the Kalim, the instruments? Or is it the vocals? So if you say the main thing is the Kli, like Tibbelech, there's no question, the Vali Asr, you can't use these items for this purpose. Rashi explains, even if you say you can use the lulav for the mitzvah, here it's way worse because it's for the carbon itself. It's most fey. It's even worse. The vadayas. There's a gersa. The machshirei carbon inu vafsirei. They're part of the carbon process. The question will be, alibad manda omar, ikashira bepeh. If you say, the main things are the vocals, and the instruments are just besume kala ba'almu, they're just here to enhance. The vocals. It's just, an accompaniment. It's a secondary element. Umaysina, in which case, we can allow these instruments, despite their problematic, origins. Oidim or, perhaps, afilu hachi asr, even so, even though they're just instrumental accompaniments, it would be inappropriate to use them, take it, we leave it unresolved. Boy, Rav, it comes a new question by Rav, mashtach v'lamayin, if one bows to a spring with flowing water, meimav ma'ol nesachem, can I use that water and pour it on the mizbeach for nesachem? What's the question? What exactly was the question? Ilem lebavua kasagit. The question is, when one bows to a body of water, what does he have in mind? He's bowing to his own reflection. He thinks very highly of himself. So he's using the water as a sort of a mirror. But really, he's not thinking about the water. He's bowing to himself. Or you can say, he's bowing to the water itself. In which case, it becomes forbidden. So why discuss emayon with nesachem? You're getting all complicated. I'll just speak about our simple case. Water in a pail, stationary water, lehedit. Does this bow, does this worship affect its status with respect to personal use? Very simple, straightforward question. Because what does he have in mind? Is it the water, in which case you can't drink it anymore? Or is it to his reflection? The answer is, lo'ilom l'mayu kasogat. Of course, he has the water in mind. He's bowing to the water. V'achem yiboyot, and the question will be, in a case of flowing water, lamay de kamei kasagid, you can now speculate. What did he have in mind? Lamay de kamei kasagid, was he bowing to the water presently before him, and that water is gone, right? The kamei kamei also, the earlier waters disappeared, so there's no concern with the new waters. Odimo, you can say ledabruna de maya kasagid. You can say that he's bound to the flow, the source, the power of that river. In which case, the whole what river? In its entirety gets affected by his activity. And that's why he presented the question. Rather than just water in a pail, that wouldn't be a question. Of course it's asr. It's just that when it's a flow, you can speculate, you can question his intent. Was it to this water, to this particular body, chunk of water, or was it to the entire river, the current, in its entirety, and everything gets affected? Ask the Gemara either way. How would one person's behavior affect the public publicly owned body of water. Mitzri, since when does this public body of water get affected by this person's behavior? You can't affect something that belongs to somebody else. If it's a public body of water, it doesn't get affected by somebody's, you know, behavior. Well, it's Richa must be speaking the Kanavi Mar'o or Mar'e. There's a Gersi Mar'e. It's flowing out of his property. It's his personal spring. So certainly he has a right, right? Meaning his conduct would affect it. So the question will be, what did he have in mind? Was it this particular chunk of water? In which case, there's no concern with the new waters. Or shall we say, he was worshipping the spring as an entity, in which case everything within it, or anything that flows from it, will be affected as well. Continues the Mishnah. He's living next door to a bias that's being worshipped as Avodah Zarah. So Rashi says the whole bias, it's not just a place of worship where they worship inside that structure. The structure itself, for some reason, is being worshipped. And it so happens that he's their neighbor, and it so happens that the wall on that side, so the wall that borders this Avodah Zarah structure is actually sitting on their side of the property line. Okay, they allowed him to do it for some reason. So, let's say the east wall of his house, which is considered the western wall of the Avodah Zarah entity, is sitting on Avodah Zarah property. Presumably it belongs to him. He built the wall, so the actual wall won't be affected by their worship. They can worship whatever they want, but it's my wall, right? So up until now, while the wall is standing, there's no issue. Problem is, it collapsed, it fell down, v'nafal. And I want to rebuild it. Asher levnes, he can't rebuild it because now he's aiding and abetting Avodah Zarah. He's rebuilding a wall which they will worship as Avodah Zarah. So what should he do? Ketzed yasa, what's the solution? Koines b'ser sheloy daldamas. He has to bring it into his territory. He has to invert it into his property. But not just by a bit. Four ames, that's the halacha. That's how far you have to go away from Avodah Zarah. Uboin and then rebuild his wall. Now let's say the wall was on the property line. So 2-foot wall, 1 foot inside their property, 1 foot inside my property. And I want to rebuild it. So you have to deal with it as it is, half and half. So basically, when it comes time to rebuild, he has to pull it in. First of all, 1 foot in, right? Bring it back that foot, because it was 1 foot over. Let's bring it back 1 foot. And plus, 4 ames, which is the required distance between himself and Avodah Zarah. Now, in this joint wall, there's another issue because it was jointly owned. So part of it became affected by their worshipping. It became Avodah Zarah material. So all that material is now forbidden for use. Avonav, those stones, eights of the wood, Vafarai, and the sand, or whatever, Metamika Sheretz, they impart tumah as though they're a dead creature. Shnema Shakes Tishak Tzena, we treat it like something which is tame. And Rashi says you can't even pick out Ein Breira. You never know who's whose. It's a jointly owned wall. Everything is treated like a desire. You can't differentiate. You can't even take anything. Rakiba Eimer Kenita. The desire is metame even more than just a sheretz. A sheretz is metame by contact, by touching it. But he says it's metame like a woman who's tame. Shnema Artizim Kedava. Say Tamil, get away, says you tell Avodah Zarah, get away. You're like Tamil like Isha Nida, which means to say, Ma Nida, Matam Masrak by Nida. She transfers her tumah even without direct contact, even by just one lifting her, or she lifting somebody something else. Af even without direct contact, just carrying it indirectly is also gonna affect and gonna transfer tumah. So you make that 4 ama gap. Question is, yeah, it helps you get away from the Avodah Zarah, but now you're giving them more room to breathe. You're actually benefiting the Avodah Zarah by enlarging their territory. You can't do that. He turns that empty space into a Beis HaKiseh. So the Avodah Zarah will have no, it's his personal Beis HaKiseh, so they can't they can't have any benefit from it. V'abayitz niusa, but it's inappropriate to make a personal base akisei exposed to the base avodah zarah without any partitions. Davalei base akisei delayli, he establishes it for nighttime use. Well, that's not really going to solve it. V'amamar, we learned in back in brachis, ezeh tzanua, who's considered a discreet person, hanifne b'layla, v'makav shanifne b'yayin, one tends to his needs at night, right? He goes to the outhouse at night, and he goes far away, even though it's nighttime and nobody sees, he goes to the same place as he would go during the day. Even though in the Gemara brachos we explain, it doesn't mean that he has to go as far at night. It just means to say that the manner in which he relieves himself should be identical to the way he does so by day in terms of his covering himself, etc. So it doesn't mean he has to go as far, but miyutz niyusa b'ilu me'evad. But apparently, even during nighttime, a person has to conduct himself with tznius. So how could you make a besakisei, you know, exposed to the avodah zarah, you know, property? He makes it for small children. There's no issue of tznius. You know, I mean, another option would be the gadolei behizmi behingi. He borders, he partitions the avodah zarah area with some sort of makeshift partitions, thorns, thistles. So on the one hand, it creates that privacy, so it solves that issue. On the other hand, you're not really building anything for the avodah zarah because you're not creating a wall for them and, you know, for their use, because it's just flimsy thorns or something. So you got it all solved. Shloisha batim hein. So as we speak about a bias of avodah zarah, which in itself is being worshipped, you know, the structure itself is being regarded as some sort of you know, power and some sort of deity. There are three levels, three categories. Rashi says, "Shloisha batim hein le'inyan bittel avodas gechavim." So primarily, we're going to focus on the bittel aspect, on the nullification aspect. There are three manners in which we are mevatel a bias of avodas zarah, depending how serious it was, how inherent it was. Hence, the bittel that follows, right? So the bittel has to correspond to the nature and the property of the avodas zarah itself, right? You have to pretty much undo what it is, right? So let's see what the three things are. Bayis shebonoi mitchila lavodas gechavim. Category one. They built the building. The structure was constructed for avodas zarah. So in it in itself is an avodas zarah material. Harei zeh asur. So the building is now asur for personal use unless somebody's mevatel it. So the guy comes and chips off a piece and shows that he's not really, he's no longer regarding it as an idol, then it becomes mutter. Next case, sidoi v'chidoi v'chiroi, he plastered it, he put on moldings, l'avodas gechavim, so the house was built for personal use, and then it was designated for avodas zarah use, but was not yet worship, except these moldings and these additions were added for avodah zarah use. So that addition is considered avodah zarah material and must be removed prior to using that building. See, the vikir lav is come v'chidesh, and he added something. Noita mashachidesh. So the bittel procedure would require removal of that addition, that ornamental addition, which is avodah zarah material. And once that's removed, the home now reverts to its original status and can be used. Because only that extra ornament, that extra molding, was considered avodah zarah. Let's say he didn't reconstruct the building, he didn't do anything to the actual structure, but he imported an avodah zarah statue into the building, and then took it out. Here is a mutter. Now it reverts to its original status because it was only usher while inside. Now, why would the building be usher while the avodah zarah is inside? According to Tosfos, it's only midrabbanan, because it appears, it's maris ha'ayin, it appears that perhaps the whole building is avodah zarah. So while it's in there, you can't use the house until it's removed. So we have three levels. The house was built for avodah zarah. The house itself becomes an avodah zarah entity. If it was there before, just beautified for avodah zarah, so that beautification is usher. If it was just brought into the house, you take it out, and you're good. Amar Rav Hamishdach Falabayis Asari. So we have a pre-existing structure, and he bowed to it, he worshipped it. The house in itself becomes an Avodah Zarah entity. Alma Kosover. Apparently Rav holds Tolosh Ulubasev Chivrei. Although, you know, this material, the bricks, were initially detached items, and then it was turned into a mechubar, they were attached to the ground, it became an in-ground entity. We don't say, well, now it's like a mountain. Mechubar l'karka, unaffected, immune, right? Resistant to any type of activity. No. Since this thing was originally detached, the bricks, the stones, even though he now attached and he built it onto the ground, which we treated as something detached and can become adversely affected by human conduct. But look in the Mishnah. The first and the most severe category describes a building that was built for Avodah Zarah. Apparently, otherwise it wouldn't work. Meaning if it was built beforehand and then turned into Avodah Zarah, it doesn't work. Says the Gemara, no. Either way, Banai, one option is he constructed a Avodah Zarah, even before bowing to it. The building is now deemed Avodah Zarah. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Or we have the second case as well. Another variation of the same point. Yeah, even if he didn't build a Avodah Zarah, but now he bowed to it, it becomes Asur as per Rav's Halach. Yuch, if that's the case. You just gave me a fourth example, a fourth category. So why does the Mishnah stop at three? Hani Shlesh, why do we have only three in the Mishnah? Arba Havu, really it's four categories. Says the Gemara, no. There are really two variations of the same concept. It all belongs into the first category, that the structure itself is deemed Avodah Zarah. It can happen both ways. Either it was built for that purpose, or was then turned into that purpose. And with respect to Bittel, which is the primary focus of our Mishnah, the same Bittel method that applies to this variation applies to that one. You have to chip away at the home and render it obsolete. Kivan delinium bittel. Since with respect to nullifying that Avodah Zarah entity, the same method applies to both variations. Bana, whether he built it for Avodah Zarah. Vishtachva, oh he didn't, he just bowed to it later. Chaku Hashivle. It really is one and the same method. You need to chip away at the building, but the building itself becomes affected, so there's no point in splitting it into an extra category. And that explains why the Mishnah sufficed with three levels. Sholosh Avarim, says the next Mishnah. Same point with stones. Three levels, three categories with respect to severity, respect to levels of Avodah Zarah regarding stones, pedestals, which are worshipped, Rashi says, they're worshipped on their own. So they're also Avodah Zarah material. You can have Evan Shechotzo Metchila Labimus. You could have, in the first category, a stone which was carved out of the quarry for the sake of Bimus, sake of Avodah Zarah. Rashi says Bimus is a statue stand, but they would worship the stand itself. So in this case, Harizu Asur, the whole stone becomes Asur. Next category, Sida V'Kidul Shemes Kicham. It was an existing stone, then it was chipped away, and it was beautified, it was plastered, it was molded, it was beautified. L'Shemes Kichavim, for a desired purpose. So in this case, Neitel Mashu Sid V'Kidul Muteros. If you want to kasher the stone, just remove the moldings and the paintings and whatever's on there, because the stone itself remains mutar. Hem de levitz kecham v'silka. What if he placed a statue on it and then removed the statue? Here's a mutaris. You can use a stone going forward because that stone was never turned into Avodah Zarah at all. Amar of Ami v'hushu siyad d'chid v'guvash eleven. In the second case, we speak about plastering and molding and beautifying the stone. We're speaking specifically that he carved within the stone itself. Right? Then we say the stone is turned into Avodah Zarah, is designated for Avodah Zarah use. But otherwise, suppose he just plastered on top of the stone, didn't really affect the form of the stone itself. According to this point in the Gemara, it would not change the status of the stone at all. It's not Avodah Zarah. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? But let's realize that the three cases in the most recent Mishnah, the three Avonim, really correspond to the three levels in the previous Mishnah, the three Batim, right? And if we are to mash them up, level 2 by the stone to level 2 by the home, V'hodum yudabayis tanan, it corresponds to the cases of the house. Ubayis, now level 2 of that home, where he beautified and he molded and he plastered the home, lav b'gufa. Your bias lav b'gufa. Who? It wasn't within the bias itself. He didn't alter the walls itself. He just plastered on the walls. Well, mitzvah, and still we see mitzvah bias that affects the status of the home, becomes asr. Says the Gemara, mitzvah bias nami yikabeni urve. No, by the home as well. You have to interpret it this way, that there are little cracks between the gaps between the rows of bricks and stones, and that's what he filled, and that's what he plastered. So he altered the actual structure itself. Who says? Who said we're not speaking to Shaya, that the house was perfectly plastered, everything was nice and smooth? V'hadur Shaya, and he plastered on top of that. He added moldings. And we see that it makes it asr as well. Right? You can't just deem it permissible unless you remove the moldings. Ella, you're right. El ki itma de Rabbi Ami linin bitul itma. Rabbi Ami wasn't instructing us that unless he actually goes into the walls and he goes into the carvings, that he actually carved, right, the stone. Unless you do that, it doesn't do anything. Of course it does. Meaning, as long as he beautified and he added, that addition, that beautification is us. He was talking regarding bitul. Ki itma de Rabbi Ami linin bitul itma. He was speaking about nullifying it. And the point that he was making was, va'afagav, desiyet, v'chiyet, v'guva shalev. Don't think that bittul only works when he sort of added plaster on a smooth surface. Then you just remove the plaster and you're good. But let's say he actually carved the stone itself. You think perhaps it's far gone, that's it, it's done, because the stone itself was remade into Avodah Zarah. Don't think so. That's a mistake. Even though he altered the actual stone itself, don't worry about it. As long as he removes any plaster, anything that he added, any material that was used to beautify the stone, it's okay. Why would I think otherwise? The mouth him, perhaps I would think, in this case, since he actually carved the stone itself, perhaps it transforms the actual stone. It's as though he carved the stone out of the quarry for Avodah Zarah purposes. So in this case, the whole stone is an Avodah Zarah entity. And can't just be nullified by removing the ornaments. Perhaps it's considered like the first category. But it's a cool, the whole stone becomes us unless he, you know, smashes and breaks it. Kamashman, the point is no. We had a stone already. He carved, he beautified. He plastered, he painted. So remove that addition, and the stone reverts to its original status and its mutter. Okay, let's do a quick chazor of today's daf. We had a few shailas. Rish Lakish wanted to know about the lulav off the tree, whether a person's bowing to the tree affects the lulav. According to the second version, the lulav was really an asherit and was also for personal use. But then it became bottle, shall we say, the dichui. The interim, period where the tree was unfit for mitzvah use, does it affect it long term or not? We had a question regarding tzemer of a behema for tcheles, regarding the different limbs of the animal used for instruments, for the shira. We had a shaila regarding bowing to a water source, whether it affects the whole source, the whole flow, or just this particular chunk of water. His home is near the Avodah Zarah, and he's built the wall collapses. You have to rebuild it in a manner which is not where he's not benefiting the Avodah Zarah in any way. We spoke about the wall material being Asr Bahano. Then we had two Mishnahs, one regarding three Batim, and then three Avonim. Tomorrow we have three Asheris. So level one was with the thing itself. Is an essence of a desired material, and the bittul has to actually alter the form. He has to chip it, chop it, break it. In the second category, we have something which was inherently innocent, but then was beautified for a desired. You have to remove that addition to make it mutter. In the third category, we had something which was just in service, temporary use for a desired. It wasn't something permanently annexed to a desired. It was a building where the desired was brought into. It was a stone on which they placed a desired. It was just for temporary use. In that case, as long as we remove the problematic entry of a Zara item, the house or the stone would be mutter going forward. All the best to you and atzlacha rabba.